2 Kings chapter number 11, and with the help of the Lord, I would like to speak to you on this theme, a bold move, a bold move. We see here from the three verses of Scripture that we read that an unbelievable thing has occurred, an unbelievable event has occurred. And in fact, really, we're just going to go jump right into this and really right into the outline and get right into it. And there's really very little introduction. That is the introduction. So we're going to jump right into the outline because it's going to tell the story, and that's what we're going to work our way through is what's happened here in this text. So number one, as we consider this theme of a bold move, number one, and it's speaking about him. When we speak about him in all of these, we're speaking about Joash, okay? Joash, which was listed in verse number 2, okay? So number one, there was a plan to slay him. There was a plan to slay him. Now, what's happened in this particular verse, these verses of Scripture is, as you can read for yourself, have your Bible open. We're just going to walk through these verses of Scripture, make application, and we will refer possibly to other Scripture, but we're just going to go right through it, and I hope God speaks to you from His Word. That's where we get the most help, is always from the Word of God, and so let's not forget that. But we notice here right away that there is something very unusual taking place. That is this. Not only has a king died, that's not necessarily unusual, King Ahaziah, you see that, King Ahaziah has died. And in fact, Ahaziah, and again, we don't have time to go through the whole history of it, but Ahaziah has been killed because of the judgment of God. And so sometimes that happened in the kings in the times of the nation of Israel. And we, again, that isn't the theme. But so Ahaziah has died. Look at it in verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal, a plan to slay him. Do you understand what we just read? So here we have Athaliah. She is the mother to King Ahaziah, okay? Ahaziah dies, and he has all of these sons that are alive at this point, which means that one of his sons is going to be what? Heir to the throne. Heir to the throne. However, before any of them could be crowned king, again, number one, there was a plan to slay him. Now, the plan was not just to slay Joash, but the plan was to slay all of his son, all of his siblings, all of his brothers. Can you imagine this? Who initiated this plan? Their grandmother. Their grandmother. You talk about wickedness. You talk about issues in the head. I mean, you talk about sin. You talk about vileness. You talk about, hey, you know, do you know what the whole root of this whole thing was? The whole root of this whole plan to slay him was the pride of this wicked Athaliah who would become queen. Because the Bible says that Athaliah, Ahaziah's mother, kills all of his children, kills all of his seed. Verse number one, except one. Unbelievable, unimaginable, unthinkable that a grandmother would have the, I don't know how she, obviously not in her right mind at all, would have the ability to even put something like this, excuse me, would be able to put something like this into practice. And so that is what happens. All of the sons are killed. All of the sons of Ahaziah are killed except number one. There is only one son left, and his name we see there is Joash. Joash. Think about Joash. There was a plan to slay him, number one. Think about Joash. He was unable to save himself. He was incapable of doing anything about it. He was totally dependent on someone else to protect him. For the sake of our outline, let's jump in to number two. There was a person to save him. There was a person to save him. You know, Joash was an infant. Joash was a baby, we believe. We believe that because of some math that we'll do here in a moment as we go through our text. And maybe not necessarily a completely an infant, maybe about one, anywhere between an infant and 1 year old, but he was very young. He was very dependent on someone to save him. You know, you think about that situation, you think about that statement. This child of the king, this Joash, he would have been destroyed. He would have been killed. He would have never reached his potential. He would have never reached his position. He would have never amounted to what God had intended for him. Now, God is sovereign and God had everything under control. But here's the deal. God always uses someone. God always uses people. God always uses a remnant. In this case, the remnant was one lady. One lady. Oh, ladies today. Mothers today, ladies today, I want to encourage you at the importance that you are in the work, in the scope of the things of the Lord. I want to encourage you the impact that you're making for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a person to save him. Her name was Jehosheba. Her name was Jehosheba. Now, the Bible tells us that Jehosheba was the sister of King Ahaziah. Now, King Ahaziah is no longer. He is dead. So this is his sister. She was the aunt, that makes her the aunt, A-U-N-T, okay? She is the aunt of Joash, the one that she saved. And in fact, she is actually a stepdaughter of Athaliah. A stepdaughter of Athaliah. Now remember, we got a lot of names we're throwing in here. Don't lose me. Stay with me. King Ahaziah, he's dead. He had a seed. He had many seeds. That's kids, okay? He also had a wicked mother. Her name was Athaliah. When Ahaziah dies, his mother says, I want to be queen. I want all the power. I want to take over. And so she has all of her grandkids killed except one. There was a plan to slay him. Number two, there was a person to save him. Enter the one who saved him. That would be her stepdaughter. Athaliah's stepdaughter, her name is listed for us there in verse 2, Jehosheba. She steps in and saves, I'm getting mixed up with my names. I've been working on this all week, okay? Joash, the hard part is this. You have Ahaziah and Athaliah, both start with A, and then you have Joash and Jehosheba, both start with J. No Ralphs and Susies, okay? Anyway, we're going to do our best. There was a person to save him. I want you to think about this. Jehosheba was also the wife of the high priest. And guess what? His name starts with a J. We got another J. Jehoiada. Okay. The point is this. God used someone so close to the wicked queen. Remember what was her name? Athaliah. Good job. Good job. Wickedness. She pictures to me evil. Right? Gotta be. Anybody that would kill their grandkids, there's problems there. And I don't think it was all mental. I think it was spiritual. So it represents evil. It represents the power of evil. It represents what evil can do and what evil, when evil gets inside someone, what evil can do, it destroys. All Athaliah was about was destroying, destroying, and destroying. And right close to her is a remnant. Right close to her is her stepdaughter-in-law. Stepdaughter. Jehosheba. Oh, she's right there in the area. Oh, she knows all about Athaliah. She knows how wicked she is. She somehow hears about the plan. She knows what's coming. But you know what? Joash is so important. Joash is so important because Joash is in the line of David. And I can't get ahead of myself. That's later in the message, okay? So let's stick with this. Joash, he's unable to walk. Joash is unable to run away. Joash is unable to take care of himself. Joash is probably about 1 year old. Joash has no clue. Joash's throat could be slit just as easy as it not be slit, and he wouldn't know what's coming. He's a 1 year old. Joash. He has no hope of survival. He has no hope if Athaliah has her way. Praise God for Jehosheba. Praise God for this one that was willing to do something bold. This one that was living in a wicked situation, living in an unimaginable time. You know what? I want to encourage you. today. We are living in a day, maybe not exactly like they're living in there, but we're living in a day filled with evil. We're living in a day filled with wickedness. I went somewhere today to get a bite to eat, and just close by over here, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I don't know. I don't want to stereotype. But the guy, well, there was a guy that came in there to order as well, and he had the smell of beer all over him. I'm telling you what, if I would have lit a match, that whole place would have gone up in smoke, no question about it. I mean, he was gassed, okay? He had been drinking. You could tell his eyes and everything. And I feel for people, and if you have that grip on you right now, I'm not criticizing him, but I'm just telling you, alcohol's wicked. I'm telling you, narcotics are wicked and drugs are wicked. It's all evil. I feel for that man. I feel for people. I feel for me. I feel for you. I'm just saying, here is a time in 2 Kings where wickedness was prevailing, and yet God had a remnant. God had a woman who was willing to make a bold move. God had someone who was willing, the wife of the high priest. Again, ladies, we need you. Moms, we need you. Willing to make a bold move. We need some bold mothers in 2020. We need some bold ladies in 2020 in the midst of this evil world that will continue to stand for right. Several things about her as we consider this woman. And it's not in the outline, so listen carefully if you're jotting down. There was a person to save him. Number one, she was a woman of courage. She was a woman of courage. There's no doubt in my mind she was a woman of courage. She put herself at risk. Athaliah, as evil as she was, would not have hesitated to kill Jehosheba as well had she caught her doing what she did. Oh, today, 2020, we need a revolution and a revival, and maybe that too. We need a revival of courage, not just in our ladies. Oh, men, let me challenge you. We need a revival of courage in our men. There's no question that Jehosheba, number two, the person to save him was a woman of courage, also a woman of compassion. A woman of compassion. We could preach a whole message on all of these characteristics. This woman, Jehosheba, could not bear the thought of seeing this baby destroyed. All of the seed, I don't know right off the top of my head how many there were that were killed. It just says all of the seed royal. Verse number two, she destroyed all of the seed royal except one, Joash, was spared by Jehosheba. And she was a woman of compassion. She did not want this little baby, this boy, to be killed. Oh, I want to just encourage you today. We need to have a revival of compassion for children. Oh, our children, I told somebody the other day, I have thought and prayed much over these last 9 weeks. I don't even know how many weeks it is now. It all just kind of blurred together. Maybe it's been 9, 10, I don't remember. But just thinking about the children of Anchor Baptist Church, thinking about your children, you're watching today, and your children are watching sitting in the living room, sitting in a chair. That's not what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be in the house of God. Church is supposed to be together as a congregation. I'm thankful that we can do this, and I'm thankful that you're taking the time and putting church in its place where it should be. This is the Lord's Day. She was a woman of compassion. I hope you're praying for the children of Anchor Baptist Church adults. I hope you're praying for the teenagers of Anchor Baptist Church. This is a very unusual time for an adult. How about a teenager? How about a child? How about a 3-year-old? How about a 5-year-old? They're starting to recognize things. They're starting to figure things out a little bit. They're starting to understand things a little bit. And this is not the way that we want it to be. It is God's way right now. It is God's plan right now. But that doesn't mean that we don't pray for one another. Oh, compassion. This was a woman of compassion. And then number three, this was a woman of conviction. A woman of conviction. It did not matter who was in charge. In this case, it was a wicked queen, Athaliah. Jehosheba said, no, I live by conviction. This is not right. I've got to make a bold move. I've got to do something. I cannot just sit idly by and let the last son of Ahaziah be killed, even though Ahaziah was killed by the judgment of God. It did not matter to her what was doing it. Oh, today, let's not live our lives like everyone else is living their life. Let's be men and women of conviction. And let's not be judgmental of others in the way they're living their life. Let's get the Word of God. Let's find our convictions in the Word of God. Let's find our standard in the Word of God. Let's live by biblical standard, biblical conviction. Let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There was a person to save him who had compassion, who had conviction, who had courage. And then lastly, this was a woman of commitment. A woman of commitment. She had to be willing to do something. Huh? She had to be willing to pay a price. How about it? Are you committed? Anchor Baptist Church, are we committed? Commitment involves a price. Commitment involves action. Commitment involves involvement. Commitment is not just sitting idly by and doing nothing. And there's much that we can do for the Lord even in these days. There's much that we can do. Oh, I encourage you, don't sit idly by and watch one after two after three after four be destroyed. Let's do something about it. Let's pray. Let's get a hold of God. Let's be faithful to the Lord. There was a woman. There was a person. In this case, a woman to save him. One, there was a plan to slay him. Number two, there was a person to save him. Number three, praise God, there was a place to shelter him. Look at what it says here in verse number three. And he was with her. Okay, the he there is Joash. Joash was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. Now, well, anyway, we'll keep going. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Jehosheba and Jehoiada were provided lodging at the house of the God. Who are they? Remember? Jehoiada is the high priest. Jehosheba is his bride. She's the one who made the bold move. They're provided lodging at the house of God. Having saved Joash from destruction, she takes him to the house of God and shelters him for 6 years. 6 years. Think about that. Now, we might say, why the house of God? Well, I think there's probably some applications that we could make from that, but and we will here in just a minute. But just think about it. I have to imagine that Athaliah, as wicked as she was, more than likely, the last place that Athaliah was going to go was the temple of God. Why? Because Athaliah was a Baal worshiper. Athaliah wasn't going to be going to the temple of God. If anything, Athaliah was going to be going to the temple of Baal, and she would be there worshiping. What better place to take this one-year-old? Think about a one-year-old. One-year-olds, they got a lot of energy. Two-year-olds, they got a lot of energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Think about how in the world are they going to keep him under wraps for 6 years and Athaliah not found out about it. There was a place. There was a place to shelter him. What better place than the house of God for security? What better place than the house of God for shelter? I think today about the house of God. What better place, what safer place than the house of God? Turn with me quickly in your Bible, holding your place there in 2 Kings chapter 11. But turn quickly in your Bible to Psalm 92. Thank you so much for listening. And by the way, I don't thank you enough. I know because I've watched services on my couch, not like you have so regularly with your pastor in Anchor Baptist Church. And I know it's just not what we're used to, even though we've done it for 10 weeks or 9 weeks or whatever. And I just thank you so much, especially Anchor Baptist Church family. I thank you for taking the time, and it's the Lord's time, but I appreciate you being involved. It's just a different way to listen to preaching, and there's just no interaction. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and you know, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed looking at you, and I don't mean that to be in a funny way or an unkind way, and I did know, but I really know now, while the preaching was going on. Because this camera doesn't even blink at me. I mean, some of you at least you'd nod your head, and I knew you were praying for me. Okay, right? The camera doesn't nod its head at all. I guess that's a good thing. Brother Raver's going to start nodding it for me now. And you know, just thank you so much. Psalm 92, verse number 13. Oh, I love this verse. I love this verse. Think about it. Psalm 92, 13. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. All right, I hear you. Here we go. The righteous shall flourish like, oh, that's 12. Those that be planted in the where? House of the Lord. Those that be planted. Some of you are getting gardens ready right now. Some of you are working, getting the flowers out. Maybe you've already got them out. You're planting seeds. You're planting plants. Anyway, you're getting the garden ready. Some of you are involved in that. Notice, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. You're not planting a garden in your backyard. You're not planting flowers in your front yard. You're not doing yard work and planting and getting things ready so that everything will die. No, that's not what you're doing it for. You're not doing it for the local birds to come and eat your produce and the squirrels to come in and rabbits. I don't think we have maybe problems with that here. I remember rabbits coming in our garden and doing their thing on the leaves and that. No, you want your garden to flourish. That's what you want, right? Hey, the Christian life ought to be a flourishing life. And the Bible here gives us an idea of how our life can flourish when we're planted in the house of God. As we go back to 2 Kings chapter number 11, what greater place to be planted than the house of God? If you're saved today listening to this service, I want you to be planted. I want to encourage you to be planted in the house of God. And I want you to, and yes, we can still be planted in the house of God in this situation. I want to encourage you to bring others to the house of God. And I know many of you are doing everything you possibly can electronically to invite people. Praise God for that. And we do it to the glory of God. And you're calling and texting people and so forth. Praise God. The church, let me tell you a little bit about the church. The church needs to be several things as we think about the place to shelter him. Let's think about the place of shelter, the church today, 2020. Number one, underneath this, number three, the church needs to be a place where people find Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus Christ ought to be preached every time we have a service. Every time we have a broadcast now is what we have. Amen? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be there somewhere. Jesus Christ needs to be glorified. He said, if you lift Jesus Christ up, he will draw all men unto himself. It's a place where people should find the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest call, the greatest challenge for the church is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to win the lost. If we don't preach the gospel, who will? In the same place that I was at earlier today, the owner of the place said, are you a Jehovah Witness? It's before he even got out witness, because I knew when Jehovah, the following word was witness. Before he said witness, my head was already doing this right here. No, I am not a Jehovah Witness. Reverse it. I'm a witness for Jehovah. Okay? We're a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ here at Anchor Baptist Church. That's what the church ought to be. We need to be extending an invitation to the people of Burnaby and New Westminster and Port Moody and now around the world as God has allowed us to have a live stream ministry. I'm so thankful for it. I know that there's a lot of work and I appreciate it. But think about it. We wouldn't be streaming right now all over the world. And I just want to give God the glory for that. The church needs to be a place where people find Jesus Christ. Number two, the church needs to be a place where people find charity. Charity. What is charity? Charity is the love of God. Oh, the church needs to be a place where people experience the love of God. And that's one of the main things. That's one of the things I miss most about not being with you, is to be able to express, even in body language, the love that we have for one another. We have to do it by phone calls and text messages and emails and the occasional drive through hello and give you a gift. And praise God for those things. And the car wash yesterday, that was a last-minute thing. We got to see a few of you, and thank you for coming and letting me wash your car, and my daughter's help with that. And we give God the glory for it. We need not only be willing to meet spiritual needs, but physical needs, a place of charity. A place of charity, in as much as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. There was a place to shelter him. Also in the church, we find comfort, we find counsel. Look, friend, this man, Joash, this little boy, 1 year old, thank God for the bold move that was made. A bold move that was made by Jehoshaphat. Why? Because there was a plan to slay him. You know what? There's a plan to slay everyone today. That plan is by the devil. The devil is all about destruction. I probably say that weekly because it's true. You know, the sad thing is, some people know that, and yet they're just going to let him destroy them. They're just going to let someone who lived a bad example of Christianity, and they're going to say, I'm not going to because of this person. You know what? That's sad that that happens. I pray that my testimony would not discourage someone from coming to Christ. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's a plan to slay people today. And it's not physical, it's spiritual. The devil wants everyone in hell with him. The devil wants everyone who's on their way to heaven, he wants to destroy their testimony so they can't influence others. There was a plan to slay him. Number two, there was a person to save him. Why don't you be that witness today? Why don't you be that Jehoshaphat today who is someone with boldness and compassion and commitment and courage and all of those things, and step toward the plate and step toward the call for the cause of Christ and be that one. Save one. And I don't mean you do the saving. Influence one. Witness to one. There was a place, number three, to shelter him. Number four, there was a priest to sustain him. There was a priest to sustain him. Look at verse 3, please. He was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Verse 4. And the seventh year, Jehoiada, that's the high priest. That's Jehoshaphat's husband. Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him. Where? Into the house of the Lord. And made a covenant with them and took an oath of them. Where? In the house of the Lord. Do you see something right here in these verses? Look at what all look at all the important things that are happening in the house of the Lord. And I recognize that we're in the Old Testament. I recognize that the church hasn't even been established yet. But I also know enough to know this. There is definitely an application that can be taken from these. It may not be the primary application, but it can be a secondary application as we read this over and over again. In the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord and all that's taking place. So let the Holy Spirit of God, that's all I'm going to say about it. Let the Holy Spirit of God make application in your heart as the importance right now, 2020, of the house of the Lord. And made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Now Jehoiada was a godly man. Jehoiada was a faithful priest. Now Athaliah, again, wicked queen. Her son, Ahaziah, killed by the judgment of God. All the while, Jehoiada is staying true to the things of God. Isn't that an amazing testimony? Now, Jehoiada is the one who had great impact on the life of Joash. Joash had him as a role model. Now, I'm not talking about just in these 6 years. I'm talking about after that as well. Turn over in your Bible quickly to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 24. He had a priest to sustain him. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. This is the, we could say the complementary or the same idea, same text, only in 2 Chronicles, same time period. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. But notice this. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. All the days of Jehoiada the priest. Joash had an example, had someone that influenced him for the Lord in this high priest named Jehoiada. He had a priest to sustain him. He had someone that providentially God allowed to be brought into his path. Now, he would not have been brought into the path of Jehoiada had it not been for Jehoshaphat, the one who made the bold move. That's our theme. But do you see how God works? First, there is the remnant named Jehoshaphat, the high priest's wife, who says something has to be done. See how it builds? And now, fast forward ahead, 40 years go by, and 40 years, Joash did that which was right because of the influence that he was placed under by the man, the high priest, Jehoiada. What do we know about Jehoiada? Okay, a couple of things quickly. Jehoiada was a man of sacrifice. If you're still in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, look, if you will, down, a little bit further down in verse number 14. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 14. He was a man of sacrifice. And when they had finished it, the house of God, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, spoons, vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days. And when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. He was a man of sacrifice. He was a man of sacrifice. He was a man of great service. Great service. Again, here is the time period. You see the time period that is happening. You see what's going on. This is not the easiest time to be the high priest. This is not the easiest time to be someone who is representing the Lord. But he was steadfast. He was a man of service. He was a man of sacrifice. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at a New Testament verse of Scripture that we can apply to where we're at in 2020. 1 Peter chapter 2. There was a priest to sustain him. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why are we supposed to be living a certain way after we get saved? Right here it says, that you that are saved would show forth the praises of him who called me out of darkness. Who called me out of darkness? God called me. God's calling you today. It is the 10th day, is that right? The 10th day of May, 2020. And if you're not saved, you're living in darkness. You're living under the control of the devil. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You're under the control of the devil. And today, Jesus Christ is saying, hey, come on out of darkness. Come to the light. I'm the light. I'm the light. Jesus is the light. We're preaching about him today. We're lifting Christ up, and he's saying, hey, come out of darkness. And as we get called out of darkness into light, we are called to give glory and show forth praises of him who called us out of light. Now, the beautiful thing is this. See, Jehoiada was the high priest. He was the example to sustain him. Now, let's fast forward ahead. We are no longer under that same type of religious instruction. It was exactly what it was for that time. But now, notice what the Bible says, that we are in 1 Peter 2, 9. We are a royal priesthood. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a part of the royal priesthood. We have been made priests. What does this mean? It means that even though Jehoiada was the priest that sustained him, God now for us, May 10th, 2020, not just now, but I'm talking about right now, we don't have to go to the priest anymore to get to God. We have direct access to God. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. While Jehoiada had a priest to sustain him, we have the Lord Jesus, our high priest, to sustain us. And we are now priests as well and have the access. We call it this. We call it the priesthood of the believer. What does this mean? This means that we have the ability, no matter where we are, no matter what time of day it is, no matter if it's 30 degrees outside or 5 degrees outside and snowing. Well, I guess it wouldn't be snowing. A little bit colder. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what's happening. We have the entrance, the access. We have the opportunity to be sustained by going directly into the presence of our Almighty God. Now think about it. It started with the bold move. I'll tell you what. Who made the bold move for you? God. God sent forth his son to be slain. That was a bold move. That took compassion. Oh, it took so much for the Lord Jesus Christ to allow sinful, wicked men to die on the cross for Him. And because of that, today we have the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. We are as well a priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. We have access to the Lord Jesus Christ we have access to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the priesthood of the believer. Oh, today you don't have to go to the pastor. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to pray for you. But as a believer, you have direct access to God. When's the last time you went to the Lord? When's the last time you went to your Heavenly Father in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and said, I need to be sustained. I need to be helped. I need to be enabled for whatever it is today. I want to encourage you, because of the bold move that God made in eternity past, being willing to give Jesus Christ, we are sustained. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. There was a high priest to sustain Him. And then number five, and lastly, there was a promise of security. There was a promise of security. Would you go back with me now into the book of 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel, chapter number 7. 2 Samuel, chapter number 7. There was a promise of security. In verse number 16, the Bible says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. That's a very important statement there. Shall be established, how long? Forever. Forever. Thy throne shall be established, how long? Forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Okay. So what? Well, there is a big what there. There was a promise of security. You see, God spoke to the prophet Nathan. Nathan was an Old Testament prophet. We don't have prophets like they did in the Old Testament, okay, in 2020. We have preachers, we have forth-tellers who prophesy, okay? Prophesy means to forth-tell. It doesn't mean I'm saying the future. That's prophesying. You don't get mixed up on those English words that sound exactly the same. I preach the Bible, that's forth-telling, okay? But in this day, they didn't have the Bible. Okay, this is a more sure word of what? Prophecy. So we have a greater word than even Nathan had in this text. But Nathan was given these instructions from Almighty God. God delivered a message to Nathan, the prophet. Nathan takes the message and gives it to David. What is the message? Here it is in summary. The message is this: the throne is never going to leave your family. Your family is going to be, a bloodline will be found within the throne all the way through. You can trace it all the way to Jesus. Amen? It's quite a thing to do. We don't have time to do that today. But so why are we talking about this? Okay, let's go back to our text. Second Kings chapter 11. And the Bible says, in I lost my place. Verse 2, but Jehosheba, the daughter of the king, King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Okay, I know we've read that already a couple of times, but here's why I'm reading again. Because this one son, Joash, had he been killed, would have eliminated the promise that Nathan made to David in 2 Samuel that we just read a moment ago. God is sovereign. God is before the beginning. God is at the end. And so there was a promise. God had made a promise to David. By the way, God always keeps his promises. Amen? God always keeps his promises. And here's a witness of the promises of God being kept from 2 Samuel chapter number 7. Once again, we find in scriptures that God keeps his promise. He promised to King David that his house would reign forever. And by the way, that's exactly what happened through Joash, going all the way through and trace it down to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's promises are always going to be fulfilled. But here's the situation. Satan always tries to hinder them. Satan is working. Satan was working in Athaliah. How about this? How about Matthew chapter 4? What was happening in Matthew chapter 4? One thing was happening, and that's this. Satan was trying to destroy a promise that God was making, that God had made back in Genesis chapter 3. Remember what he promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? That the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. You know who the serpent is? The devil. You know the only way that Jesus Christ could crush the head of the serpent is because he was God in flesh. He didn't cease to become God when he became man. He was the God-man. And in Matthew chapter 4, the devil is trying to disrupt the promise of God. The devil is trying to hinder, is the word I use, the promise of God, change it. And if the devil can get Jesus to do one thing wrong in Matthew 4, it hinders the promise. It eliminates the promise that God made. And every time the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ came back with the word of God and he overcame the temptation of the devil. God is faithful. God is faithful to bring to pass what he has promised. Joash was sheltered safely in the house of God by Jehosheba and Jehoiada. In the seventh year, Jehoiada made a tremendous step of faith. And really, it'd be good to read the rest of the chapter this week to see what happens. Jehoiada makes a tremendous step of faith. He calls for the leaders to come together and he calls for the soldiers to come. He calls for them all to come to the house of God, and there he would reveal the plans to them. There he would let them know, oh, by the way, there's still one of the king's sons alive. They began to put into place, and it's a beautiful story, and you ought to read it sometime. Read it today, read it tomorrow. The priest aligned the soldiers. They provided the security for the king, and then another bold move was made. And the king, King Joash, was declared to be the king. And Athaliah comes out, treason and all of it. That's not the message. The message, though, is the bold move. That's where it started. How a lady stood up for God, made a difference. And really, because she made a difference, God's sovereignty, obviously, but she made a difference. In other words, we can't see the end of the difference that we're making. You can't see the end of it. You just see in front of your face, and sometimes what's in front of your face, you're like, why? Why read the Bible every day? Why go to church every day? Why sit on the couch and watch church? Why? I can only see right here, and what I'm seeing right here, it doesn't seem like it's working out. Think of 6 years trying to figure out what to do with a toddler and not be found out by Athaliah. Is this really worth it? Yes, it was worth it. And I submit to you today, and I encourage you today, let God push us. Let God push us to himself in these days. Let God push us to himself. And as he's pushing us to himself, he's there and he's coming toward us as he's pushing us toward him, if that makes any sense. Let God have his will and way in your life. It's a bold move. I wonder today, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That was the boldest thing. That was the most compassionate thing that could be done, is that the Lord Jesus Christ would bleed and die for your sin and mine. And God promises something. God promises something. That through his seed, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never die. That's a promise. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said. What did he say? Shall never die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, you're listening today. You have no hope of heaven. You need to trust Christ as your Savior today. You need to claim the promise of eternal life found in this book right here. Oh, dear Christian, today, it's time for some of us to take a bold move. I don't know what the bold move is in your life. I don't know what it is, but let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. We learn here today from one lady, the high priest's wife, who said, no, this isn't right. I've got to do something about it. She made a difference. Little did she know, and that little one-year-old, up to seven-year-old, who she was carrying. I wonder who, and I know this is maybe not a good example, but in a sense of, because he's the Son of God, but I wonder who was around Jesus in his formidable years. We don't read much. We don't read much past age 12 up to 30. Who was he around? Who was helping him? And the Bible says he increased in wisdom and in stature. Think about the kids in Anchor Baptist Church. We're influencing them. Oh, some of them are small and some of them can barely, they can barely put four or five sentences together, but they're growing. They're being nurtured. It's teenagers, young adults, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, no. I'm just saying, the point is this, Jehosheba, she made a difference. For the time that God had her there, she made a difference. She decided to make a bold move. Where do you need to make? Hey, who's made a difference in your life? Thank God for them. Maybe it was your mom. Thank God for the mother that you have. You see, my mother wasn't a godly mom. I don't know if my mom was even saved. My mom's no longer alive. Maybe that's not what you want to focus on today. Hey, focus on the goodness and grace of God. Focus on who influenced you. Everybody has people that have influenced them for the cause of Christ. You be that next influence. You be that next one willing to make the bold.